Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to St. John's Lutheran Church this morning. I am so glad to see all of you, but I also want to make sure that we're saying hello and welcome and thank you to Kent and to Tony for helping us as Steve and Lori are off doing something wonderful and relaxing, we hope. All right, but it is good for us to be together as we continue our green and growing season after Pentecost. It is also just a really great day because it's the 1st of October, which means donuts. You know, here it did, so in between services, come on down. It's another good reason to come and do the whole donuts thing, because today here at St. John's, we are also welcoming new members into the fellowship of our congregation. There have been many people who have been coming as guests and visitors, and we will be welcoming those who have accepted our invitation to be part of our community here. So that's a wonderful thing that's happening today in worship. Coming on Thursday, October 19th, I'm going to do a Bible study that I have done before, and it is going to be a walk through the entire Bible in 90 minutes. You're all laughing. Actually, I use a timeline that was developed by Crossways International, and we will talk about all of the different major themes of the Bible, get a taste for what is in the Old Testament and how it merges with what is in the New Testament. Thursday, October 19, 7 p.m., we are going to do the Bible in 90 minutes or less. Someone said, you can't even brush your teeth in 90 minutes or less. What do you mean? You're going to talk about the whole Bible. But that's my challenge, and you are welcome to come and be a part of it. There are lots of other announcements in the bulletin, and I hope you take a chance to read through them and discover all of the ways that you can be part of the ministry that goes on here. But we've gathered this morning so that we might be in worship. So let us add our voices to all of God's people as we give the Lord praise and thanksgiving. Our gathering song is always, I invite you to rise as we sing together.
I believe you gave sight to the blind. I believe that the dead came to life. I believe there were wonders and signs, and you're still the same. I believe every word that you said. I believe there are scars in your hands, that your goodness is good without end, and you'll never change. I will tell of your wonders, sing of your grace. The God of creation knows me by name. The Lord is faithful, yesterday, now, and always. Always. Your mercy is mighty, age after age, and all generations will bow down and praise. The Lord is faithful. Yesterday, now, and always, always.
I believe you will come in the clouds. I believe you are here even now. In your presence, I know there is power, power to save. Oh,
I will tell of your wonders, sing of your grace. The God of creation knows me by name. The Lord is faithful, yesterday, now, and always, always. Your mercy is mighty, age after age, and all generations will bow down and praise. The Lord is faithful, yesterday, now, and always, always.
You were.
You are.
We'll tell of your wonders, sing of your grace. The God of creation knows me by name. The Lord is faithful yesterday, now, and always, always. Your mercy is mighty, age after age, and all generations will bow down.
And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Also with you.
Let us pray. O God of love, giver of life, you know our frailties and failings. Give us your grace to overcome them. Keep us from those things that harm us, and guide us in the way of salvation. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
Our first lesson comes to us from Ezekiel, the 18th chapter. The word of the Lord came to me. What do you mean by repeating the proverb concerning the land of Israel? The parents have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. As I live, says the Lord God, this proverb shall no more be used by you in Israel. Know that all lives are mine. The life of the parent as well as the life of the child is mine. It is only the person who sins that shall die. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is unfair. Hear now, O house of Israel, is my way unfair? Is it not your ways that are unfair? When the righteous turn away from their righteousness and commit iniquity, they shall die for it. For the iniquity that they have committed, they shall die. Again, when the wicked turn away from the wickedness they have committed and do what is lawful and right, they shall save their life. Because they considered and turned away from all the transgressions that they had committed, they shall surely live. They shall not die. Yet the house of Israel says, the way of the Lord is unfair. O house of Israel, are my ways unfair? Is it not your ways that are unfair? Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, all of you according to your ways, says the Lord God. Repent and turn away from your transgressions. Otherwise, iniquity will be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions that you have committed against me, and get yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, says the Lord God. Turn then and live. The word of the Lord. The second lesson is from Philippians. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interest, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. The word of the Lord.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew in the 21st chapter. When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them, "I will ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin?" And they argued with one another, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe in him?' But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the crowd, for all regard John as a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things." What do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, "Son, go and work in the vineyards today." And he answered, "I will not." But later he changed his mind and went. The father went to the second and said the same. And he said, "I go, sir." But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of the father? And they said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the prophets believe him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him." The Gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today in our gospel story, Jesus' authority is questioned, all right? The chief priests and the elders find Jesus when he enters into the temple. Now, these are the same people who by the end of this week that the gospel is telling us about, they're the ones who are going to condemn Jesus to death. And so they start the week by asking Jesus by what authority he is doing these things. And then who gave him that authority? What they want is they want for Jesus to slip up. They want Jesus to give them a platform to use against him with the crowds and also with Romans. Now, as to the things that he is doing, they could be asking Jesus about his triumphal entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. They could be asking about how he stopped the work of the temple by driving out the sacrificial animals and turning over the money tables. They also could just be asking about everything that Jesus has been doing throughout his ministry, because in Matthew's gospel, this is his first time in Jerusalem. This is his first time to meet these chief priests and elders of the people, and they may just want to know what's going on. Now, it does seem to me that they know that Jesus has some authority. That's why they're there. He's making them nervous. Jesus has a following. He has a reputation. He's been accomplishing all kinds of things from Galilee all the way down now to Jerusalem. But what they really want to know is from where this authority comes. Now, I think they have three different ideas in mind. And the first one is that this authority that Jesus has comes from God. I don't think any of them really believe that, but they have to sort of keep it as a possibility. The next possibility they have is that this authority that he has comes from the devil. Now, I'm sure that there are some in that group that believe that. But I think most of them believe that the authority that Jesus has comes from himself, that he's just some kind of a confidence man, right? They're holding out for the idea that Jesus is just charismatic enough, just convincing enough, that people are going to follow him and they're going to listen to him, that they believe that the people are swayed by his performance, and that's kind of from where their fear of the crowds comes. So when the chief priests and the elders question Jesus' authority, they're hoping that Jesus will give them an answer that they can use to discredit him. Discredit him to that crowd that they're afraid of. They want Jesus to make a mistake so that they can pounce upon him and get rid of Jesus once and for all. That doesn't happen in this story. Because Jesus does the rabbi thing. You ask me a question, and I'm going to answer your question with a question. right? Jesus says, I will answer your question if you will answer mine. And his question is, from where did John the Baptist's ministry come from? Was it from heaven or was it just of human origin? Now, the chief priests and the elders cannot and do not answer Jesus' question. Because if they say that John's ministry came from heaven, then Jesus can ask them, why didn't you listen? Why didn't you repent? But if they say that John the Baptist was there just by human origin, then the crowd that they fear will be after them because the crowd believes John is a prophet. And so the chief priests and elders refuse to answer, and then so does Jesus. Now, Jesus' refusal to answer is more than just a rhetorical ploy or a tit for tat, because what Jesus wants is for the chief priests and the elders to begin to ponder John's ministry as well as his ministry. John's message there on the banks of the Jordan River was repentance. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus began his ministry by saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repentance, walking with God, working with God, sharing the love of God, the love that God gives to each of us. These are the messages that Jesus has been proclaiming from Galilee all the way now down to Jerusalem. Faith, blessings from God no matter that the world has cast you out, grace and mercy, hope and peace. These are the gifts that Jesus provides to all people so that we will all have something to share. So when Jesus is talking with the chief priests and the elders, he hopes that they will hear John's call to repent, or his call to repent. Or maybe they'll even just hear Ezekiel's call to repent that we heard in the Old Testament today. A reading from Ezekiel ends with him saying to us, turn then and live. Ezekiel's message is that God is always willing to forgive, that God is mercy, and that we are the ones who demand and demand and demand and then never repent. God wants to walk with us and work with us. God is calling us to repent. The Greek word that we use is metanoia, and the base definition of that is to turn around. God is hoping that we will stop going off in the direction of our own foolishness and turn back. That we will turn to God and to God's love and to God's care. That we will turn back to God's encouragement, guidance, and help. The parable that Jesus then tells lifts up repentance and encourages us to change our minds and our lives so that we can reflect the will of God. One son says to his father, nope, won't help. And then eventually, he goes and helps. He turns around. He repents. The other son says, well, of course I'll help, and then doesn't do anything. Jesus' question is, which son did the will of the father? And everyone knows that it's the first son, the one who did something other than pay lip service. Everyone knows it's the one who repented and went to work with the father. It's not what he did or how much he did or for how long he did it that is important. It is knowing that he turned and was there in the arms of the Father's love and then joined the Father to help. See, this parable is for us a description of our lives as Christians. See, God's vision for the world is that it will be filled with people loving and caring for each other. God doesn't demand that there is only one way that we can do that, or even a handful of ways that we can do that. Instead, God stands beside us, willing to help us to love our neighbor, willing to help us to discover ways to help our neighbor, however it is that we can. Some days, we get it, and everything goes well, and some days, we blow it. We forget or we lose sight of God's vision of love. Jesus is here today to remind us that we can always repent, that God's forgiveness stands with us. It stands for us. Jesus reminds us that we can always try, try, and try again. Now, the devil, the world, and our sinful selves are constantly trying to lead us astray, somewhere else. They try to get us following some trivial idea, or they try to get us lost in the details, and we forget our neighbor. We forget God's presence with us. And so today, from Ezekiel to Jesus, we are called to turn back, to return to the Lord our God. And we should never fear that it will take too much effort or that somehow or another God will not be there, because God is always there when we turn back. Sometimes we don't notice God because we're facing the wrong direction. So we're called to turn. We're called to turn now. When should we repent? Now. When should we turn back to God? Now. When should we open our lives in prayer or in praise or in thanksgiving? When should we be on our knees begging for guidance and forgiveness? Now. Now. Because it is always now. And now is always the right time for us to walk with God. But we are also called to turn now and live. See, that's the great good news today, because God gives us life, real life, true life, eternal life. Without God, our lives are always empty. Now, we may try to fill those lives with stuff or with friends or with postseason baseball. Whatever it is that we want to try to do, we will never fill our lives. And we will never fill our lives with purpose. God with us. Jesus, our Emmanuel, our Savior. Jesus is the one who gives us purpose. And that purpose is to love our neighbors. That purpose is to make God's vision into our mission. When God looks at the world, His vision is that we will show God our love by loving and caring for each other. Our mission then is to love and care for each other. When we get it, when we feel it, it is great. When we don't, we are called to repent, to turn now and live, to turn back now and live lives inspired by Jesus and filled with that love of God that is ours. That is the life that we get to live with God by our side, with Jesus working with us and beside us, so that we can bring the love of God to all the people we can. Turn now and live. Go into the world with hope and make God's vision our mission. Amen. Remembering the caring and generous work of God, we pray for the church, creation, and the needs of our neighbors. We put our trust in you as we pray for the church. Give bishops, pastors, deacons, and teachers the gifts of wisdom and discernment. Be with them in bold truth and faithful witness. Lord, in your mercy, lead us in your truth as we pray for creation. Empower us to make choices that impact the environment. Summon us to be advocates for healthy waterways, habitats, and air. Lord, in your mercy, lead us in justice as we pray for those in government, the military, and other positions of authority. Give them humble and willing hearts looking to the needs of others. We pray also for our enemy. Lord, in your mercy. Trusting in your goodness, we pray for all caregivers and people who are sick or suffering in any way. Give them encouragement and consolation in your presence. We pray for all who suffer illness and injury or with accident and disease. But we also pray for these known to us who need your wholeness. We pray for Clint, Judith, Juanita, Judy, and Rhonda. Lord, in your mercy, teach us your paths as we pray for this congregation. Be at work in us and unite us in your love as we labor together for the sake of the gospel. Lord, in your mercy, come, Holy Spirit, who calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies us. Come to us now as we celebrate those who are joining in the body of Christ. May we be for them family. May they be for us a blessing, and may we all together grow in faith and make your vision to be our mission. Lord, in your mercy, We give thanks for all the saints who died secure in the knowledge of salvation. Keep us fearless in our faith and certain of your resurrection. Lord, in your mercy, remember us according to your steadfast love as we offer these and the prayers of our heart, trusting in your compassion made known through Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us, pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now may the Lord grant that we see what needs to be seen and do what needs to be done. May the Lord bless and protect you all. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you all with favor and give you peace in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I hope your week is filled with blessings as you go into the world with hope.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.
He became sin. Humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Jesus Messiah, name above all. Blessed Redeemer.